The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
It's All-Ireland Final Week. Anything to say, boys?
No, it's great to be here. It's great.
How would you stop?
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you as always. We're here till 10 o'clock. 53106 is the text number at Off the Ball on Twitter. So, the week that was in Irish football, we will get the final, definitive take on it by John Giles, coming away as always at 7:30. Creative midfielders only on tonight's show. We've got the great Denise O'Sullivan and Karen Carney coming away at 9 o'clock on the football show. It's been a pretty landmark day for the international women's team. We'll hear about that in a little while. And we'll also hear from the FAI CEO, Jonathan Hill, who has been talking about Stephen Kenny's future this afternoon. That coming up in just a moment. All-Ireland final, just 2 days away. This time, Saturday, 48 hours from now, we should know who the All-Ireland champions are. As always, here on a Thursday night, just before an All-Ireland final, you can be guaranteed you will get unbiased coverage of Mayo against Tyrone. That's why, live right now from Omagh, to provide some ballast. Owen Sheehan is with us.
Hey, Nathan, how's it going?
I'm providing the ballast, you're providing the balance.
Yes, indeed. The balance, I literally travelled from Mayo to Tyrone and just existed in Tyrone for a couple of hours just for the sake of balance. And I can tell you that I'm feeling balanced about an All-Ireland that is probably the most finely balanced ever. There is one sound that people are making right now when you ask them to talk about the final, and it's a sort of grimace and a sort of, please don't ask me that question. Everybody is terrified to put their neck in the line, and rightly so.
Richie McCormack, put your neck in the line.
Mayo by about 3 or 4.
Richie.
I'm pretty confident on Mayo's behalf. I think I've been the only one really confident about Mayo.
We're playing this
since
one down.
That win over Dublin.
Did you not get the memo? We're playing this one down. This is
no
hype final.
No, there was somebody sent through, oh God, they're going to kill me now for not getting it right, but somebody sent through into my Twitter earlier on one of the billboards that's up around town where basically saying that Mayo have won it. This is in Dublin, by the way, not in Ballyhonus or Castlebar or in Ballina. This is around about Dublin, saying that Mayo have already won the Sam Maguire. And I'd be inclined to go along with it, if only because it will annoy you further when they don't win it on Sunday.
No. Owen, I sent you down, of all people, to Mayo for 2 days, two full days. I think you covered every inch of Mayo over the 48 hours. What's the sense on the ground?
I think that the sense on the ground is not too dissimilar to what Richie is talking about there in billboard form. I think in human form, that is the real Mayo attitude. They won't go as far as actually saying that, I feel, but there is a sense that they are playing it down publicly. Now, there is this appreciation, I think, within Mayo fans, and I'm not sure if you're feeling this, Nathan, that this last decade has been a golden era, and getting to experience All-Ireland Final Week every second year, by and large, just over every second year, is an extraordinary thing. And I guess it's something that, as a sports fan and as a Mayo fan, you feel extremely fortunate to be in that position, because that's definitely the sense I got in Mayo, that, yeah, we're happy to be here, which may actually be a little bit of a double bluff to suggest that deep down they really believe they want to win and that they need to win and that they will win is what their belief is, I think anyway.
There's no bluffing about being happy to be there. I think Mayo supporters over the last 10 years have enjoyed every quarterfinal, semi-final, final. It has become this unstoppable force of support coming to Dublin 2-3 times a summer, and you almost build your summer around it. I remember leaving Newbridge the night of Kildare defeat, and you sort of wonder, well, what do we do now? What do we plan around August? Because it's almost like a mini reunion. I think it's brought so many Mayo people together over the last decade who might have lost touch, who may not get home as often as they do, and there's this massive Mayo diaspora in Dublin, in every part of the country. Adrian Barry was telling me that his mother was the head of the Mayo Athlone Association at one stage, and I kind of thought, do we need a Mayo Athlone Association? It's only half an hour from Mayo. But even being half an hour from Mayo, they want to get together. And last year, I was at the final, and the build-up and everything around it, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel right at all that there was nobody there and that there was no buzz, there was no meeting up the night beforehand. And this is sort of a halfway house where tickets are impossible to get. Impossible to get, because they just don't exist. There's half the crowd going, they just do not exist. But also, I'm seeing from home an awful lot of people who aren't going to come up anyways, because it's not just about the match. It is about the Friday night, the Saturday night in Dublin, seeing people that you haven't seen for 6 months. seeing people you haven't seen for 5 years and giving them the nod and stopping and chatting for 5-10 minutes, going out afterwards one way or another, and every Mayo person that have gone through the same experience over the last 10 years, when you look back at the various different finals, you probably had nights where you lost and you went out and you ended up in the Boar's Head for till 3 a.m. and had a great night and went to Coppers and all of that, and the result didn't matter. I bet you everyone also had a night where they just went straight home because they were sickened. They just went straight home and couldn't and didn't want to see anybody. So everyone's shared these sort of experiences, and I think for a lot of people, because that's not going to be there afterwards, and you know, there is the, well, what if they win? What do you do in Dublin? You know, do we have to book to get into a pub? Will we be allowed to stay in the pub after 11 o'clock? Maybe we'd be better off staying in Mayo and just having a barbecue and getting everybody over to watch it in the house and see what happens there. So it's a different feeling this time around as well. But, and it probably means because of that, the hype has been kept a little bit quieter. But I think if this time, 48 hours, Aidan O'Shea's climbing the steps of the Hogan stand.
What do you mean if? When?
We're all going to go absolute book crazy.
Well, I like the way you said some of us went to the Boar's Head and stayed there until 3 o'clock and then went to Coppers, or some of us just kind of were too dispirited to do anything. By the some of us, you absolutely meant yourself there. Am I lying?
Absolutely. I've had both of those experiences. I think it was Donegal, where I went straight home afterwards and just was so
that was the one.
Sickened.
Yeah.
Home by 7:30, sitting, going, am I going to watch the Sunday game? I just cannot believe that has just happened. Because the other problem is you often do make so many plans. So does the, oh, we'll meet here afterwards, and sure, we might sneak out to the banquet out in the City West afterwards. And then you're like, no. So I don't know what's going to happen if it all comes true finally. But I'd like to see what happens.
Yeah, like it's going to be fascinating, because I think there'll be a lot of on the fly decisions made by Mayo people if they get over the line on Saturday, and rightly so, because it's such a different experience between winning and losing, especially in the context of being favourites on Saturday. But you talked, Nathan, about the trip through Mayo, and you know better than most people that some parts of Mayo are better than others. You know, it was great being able to go over and catch up with some great sports people, like going to Ballinan, catching up with Lee McHale, and going to Swinford and catching up with Willie Joe Patton. But I couldn't track down one of Mayo's greatest sports people. He was just totally unfindable. Nobody could track him down. But thankfully, I went to Ballyhaunas and spoke to some people who've had the privilege of playing with this legend.
We have a very multicultural community. We probably have a 30% native Irish community and 70% foreign national, and that's, I suppose, related to the workforces in the town. I suppose prior to COVID, what we did was we really focused on getting players who were new and families who were new to GAA sports and getting them involved. Our little story here, myself and Tab, I mean, we go back, our relationship goes back 30 years. And I was talking to Jerry earlier about this today, about he was actually the manager of our under 14 team back in 1994. And we won the All-Ireland. It was a Fela competition. And myself and Tab featured on that team.
Yeah, well, you
need to
bring Tab in.
Yeah, so Tab is here beside me. And yeah, we featured on that team, as well as our good friend Nathan Murphy. And I know you know Nathan, don't yeah, so we were present on the team. And I suppose Tab, you know, as the years went on, we went about our own business. I went abroad. Tab did his own thing. And then when COVID came, you know, there's definitely some positives from COVID. You know, some of the lads had an ambition, and fair play to them, to set up a junior football team in the club, because there were so many lads working at home, not doing anything. Obviously, it was having an impact on their mental health. And we said, you know what, let's get a junior B team set up. And it was brilliant. And we brought lads who played football before, weren't probably at the standard of senior football, and brought them up here to the pitch. And I met Tab, I'll never forget it, down the square one day. And I said, Tab, come on, we're going playing football. And he sort of laughed at me. And I said, no, we're going playing football.
Well, the first came in 1989. And from 1993 onwards, we started playing Gaelic. First time we came up here was as far as the Rochfords, and I started going back. And then I asked the man in the Rochford garage, where is the pitch? And he told me to go further up, past the statue of Mary there. And I came up here and seen some of the lads playing. So from then on, I started playing. And then that's how I met Tomás here during Gaelic. Otherwise, I wouldn't have met him at all, like, you know.
And where did you come to Ballyhaunas from?
Pakistan.
I presume you hadn't heard of Gaelic games?
No, not at all. I barely bit of English at all, but never heard of a Gaelic at all. It was very warm welcome, like, you know. And everyone was with open arms and everything. And then it was very good.
the main question I want to know is, take us back to this fail and under-14s level, this wunderkind Nathan Murphy, I think his name is.
We lost him somewhere on the way. Like,
what happened?
Someone must have taken him away.
I think he got poached by his father, you know, back to soccer. I mean, me always a big soccer man. I was midfield. Tab, were you sort of...
Full forward,
yeah. Yeah. Nathan used to be on the sideline, come onto the pitch as well, and off the sideline again. Only joking, Nathan. He was corner forward, yeah, he was quick. Good times. We've been hard hit with COVID over the last number of years, our fundraising, but it hasn't stopped us in our own aspirations to develop this club and make facilities better for our kids and the future of Ballyhonus. So we're doing SUV... winanSUV.ie. We're giving away an SUV, or you can cash in your SUV and take €50,000 in cash, and all funds that come in are going towards our development plan for the club to make this place just a better place for everybody going forward.
Tomás Murphy there, like his dad, a great salesman. Did you meet the entire Murphy family? Did you meet Eddie Murphy Senior and Junior? Did you get a free suit off Tomás?
I didn't have the privilege of meeting the entire clan.
You missed out. Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy here from Eddie Murphy's Menswear, one of the most famous voices in all of the West of Ireland. You got to get in there. Come on.
I was interested in one story and one story only, and it was that Fela team of 1994. So talk us through this, Nathan.
I've very little memory of this, but if they say I was a skinny little corner forward, I've no doubt that I must have been. Yeah, Tayab was quite an athlete. We sat together in third class in school. It's a shame he didn't stick with the GA and missed out for a few years, but it's good to hear they've got a junior team now, so if I ever do move home, I could maybe hop off the bench for 5 minutes on that, if I'm lucky.
Move home if Mayo win Sam on Saturday, I presume that's why you're talking about.
That's it. You made they obviously a great plug there for the winanSUV.ie, which will help raise money for Ballyhonus GAA. I mentioned the demand for tickets. Every GAA club in the country is being bankrolled for the next 10 years by Mayo fans right now. Is there a GAA club in the country that isn't running a raffle, an online competition for tickets and charging £20 for the privilege of entering? It's bloody outrageous.
I entered a raffle earlier on in Tyrone, actually. Declan Bogue pressured me into entering Lucky First Goal. I don't know what club. I presume it's for Achnacloy, but I've got 3 tickets today, so hopefully I'm in the money as well.
If you get the tickets, pass them on, Owen. Pass them on.
Certainly will.
Do us a favour here. You're listening to the news round with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. Owen, we'll let you go in a moment. So what's your plan? You've been in Mayo. You've recognised their lovely people, deserving of an All-Ireland. So what are you going to say to the people of Tyrone?
Well, I mean, they are also lovely. I've just been speaking to
they're
Daniel
around
Harvey,
you right now, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. I'm being held here hostage. That is certainly what you can take from this. Damien Harvey, who is a friend of the pod, Nathan, no less. He's been golfing for the last few days, came back to give us a little bit of a talk about Tyrone development. I may have separately then had a sneak into Garvahy. We'll be going out to Loch Ness a little bit later on to hear a great new poem about Tyrone and how they're going to take down Mayo. And then there is a sit-down with Declan Bogue and Enda McGinley as we get into the nitty-gritty of how Saturday is going to go. And there is going to be a lot of grimacing and a lot of, I don't know. But there is a lot of educated guessing with regards to how Saturday might go.
All right, well, listen, we're going to play some of the brilliant interviews you did down in Mayo. It wasn't just Ballyhonus. You managed to get past Ballyhonus. Didn't put a statue up yet? No? Hasn't happened. Hasn't happened quite yet. But you spoke to some really... Lee McHale. The piece with Lee McHale is fascinating. If ever there's a man who needs to get back into inter-county coaching again, his breakdown of tackling and the tactics of what will happen, you got to go and listen to that. It's all up in the OTB Sports app. You had Mick Loftus, who's one of the All-Ireland winners from 51. John O'Mahony was in there. Willie Joe Padden. All the greats. And Owen Sheehan doing the exact same thing in Tyrone and coming your way from 7:30 tomorrow morning on OTB AM. Thanks for that, Owen. Enjoy the rest of the evening. We're going to be talking to Conor McManus and Billy Joe Padden after 8. Richie, we don't have a huge amount of time, but it's quite a bit happening, so you want to run through some of the stories?
Yeah, the FAI CEO Jonathan Hill says Stephen Kenny's future won't be discussed until the end of the World Cup qualifying campaign. 2 points in their first 5 Group A matches mean Ireland won't be going to Qatar next year, and Hill says they'll discuss Kenny's future at the end of the campaign and not beforehand. Well, the FAI today announced a landmark partnership with Sky. The deal is reportedly worth a 6-figure sum to the association and will see the broadcaster become the standalone primary partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Meanwhile, Claire Shine, Harriet Scott and Savannah McCarthy all fit again and all included in the Republic of Ireland squad for the friendly with Australia. The BMW Championship first round is just completed. Shane Lowry putting in a decent shift today, 200 par round of 70 for the 2019 Open champion. He is 6 shots off the joint lead of Kiradesh Afibanrat and Christian Jim Bezuidenhout. Meanwhile, Jonathan Caldwell and Graham McDowell are both one under par. Padraig Harrington is level par, and Cormac Sharvin still has four holes to play, but is struggling on three over par. Just, and you wait. Sorry,
I was just going to say, just to let you know that Golf Weekly is up online right now. We obviously spent a lot of time talking about Leona Maguire and her brilliance at the Solheim Cup, but this is a huge week in terms of the Ryder Cup. Padraig Harrington announces selections on Sunday evening. 18 different players could get into the team if they were to win this week, so it's probably going to go right down to the wire. We talk about that as well, the American selection, and it's all up online now. Our Ryder Cup coverage is brought to you in association with Sky Sports. Watch the Ryder Cup exclusively live on Sky Sports, and we're going to have a feature interview with Leona Maguire coming away over the next couple of days.
The UEFA president Alexander Čeferin says playing the World Cup every 2 years will kill football. FIFA are continuing to campaign for a biennial World Cup, saying it will create more meaningful matches. The European Leagues group, who provided 73% of the players for the last World Cup in Russia, are firmly opposed to the proposal. And on a similar FIFA tip, Japan has withdrawn as the host for this year's Club World Cup due to coronavirus concerns. The decision comes after the Japanese government extended emergency coronavirus restrictions in the capital, Tokyo, and other regions until the end of this month. The tournament is due to take place in December, with Chelsea entering, having won the Champions League last May.
So John Giles is coming up in just a moment. We'll play you that very short interview with Jonathan Hill talking about Stephen Kenny. I don't know what else Jonathan Hill could really have said. Like, he didn't give Kenny his backing, but he also, I suppose, didn't say that, you know, if they don't get three wins from the next four games, he's gone, but did say that, you know, it's about results.
Yeah, there's a few ways you could interpret it, because one of the lines in it is that they review each international window after it ends. So there's a sit down with the board and they discuss how the last two, three games have gone and where they stand from there. And there doesn't seem to be any great rush to decide the manager's future in terms of, like, he's not going to be gone before the games with Azerbaijan and Portugal. And not that we would have expected as much, but I think, like, I don't think Kenny is helped by the fact that Hill said basically that they won't discuss the future until beyond 2022, and Kenny's already saying that he's building for those qualifiers for Euro 2024. But the main issue I would have had with it is that all of this talk, like, I appreciate Jonathan Hill had to get out and talk about general matters, FAI, but it completely overshadowed what is a fantastic deal for the women's national team today, that they've secured a six-figure sum, a four-year sponsorship with one of the biggest broadcasters in the world. And that's become a footnote to yet more talk over the future of Stephen Kenny, which isn't going to be decided until November anyway. So I think it probably could have been managed a little bit better than the FAI.
Yeah, that is the power of the men's national team. It overshadows every other sport whenever it is the story. We're going to talk to Denise O'Sullivan, the FAI Player of the Year. They've got some huge games coming up. Friendly against Australia, World Cup qualifier against the world number two, Sweden, coming up next month as well. And Denise O'Sullivan's going to join us on the football show. And so too is Karen Carney, English football legend, and obviously a regular on our TV screens right now. Richie, thanks for that. Short and sweet. I hope to God your prediction comes true. I hope I come back. Talk to you next Monday, and I'm insufferable.
I will just say this. I don't know if you're aware of the Twitter YouTuber Killian M2. He unearthed the Mayo Mayo song from 1996 from the Up for the Match.
Mayo.
Exactly.
Mayo. Maguire's coming home to Mayo. That is only the start of it.
And that is why Colm Coyle, even now, 25 years later, should have his red card rescinded.
Boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say Mayo. Did you ever get that one, Richie?
This is going to be a long few days. This is going to be a long few days.
We haven't even got into the green and red yet.
Between this and the Ryder Cup, you are going to be insufferable for the next fortnight.
Hang up on him. He was doing so well to start. Richie, thank you. John Giles is up next.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.